This is another one that's here based on our preservation restriction. Jennifer, can I ask you to give us a little background on this?
So this is a request to only obtain feedback at this stage from the commission on a conceptual plan to construct new housing units on the property. There is a preservation restriction held by the city in place on this property known as the Bigelow House. The owner is seeking feedback from the commission on a conceptual plan to construct new housing units not to be attached to any of the historic structures on the property in a currently wooded area. This is formally listed as 742 Dedham Street, and the Bigelow House is individually listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And according to the NR form, the Dr. Henry Jacob Bigelow House stands on one of Newton's highest hills and commands a magnificent view of the surrounding towns. The house was designed in 1886 and built a year later, one of the last works of architect Henry Hobson Richardson. Its exterior remains virtually unchanged from its original appearance, except for the evidence of deterioration. The form also notes the Bigelow House, although not one of Richardson's most outstanding shingle houses, is nevertheless the only shingle residence by the master in Newton. It is a beautiful site on a wooded hill, sets it apart from the housing developments on the nearest streets, and calls to mind the period when the area consisted exclusively of farms and woodland. The preservation restriction, which is on page 410 of the provided deed or page 152 of the packet documents, was imposed to ensure the preservation of the historically and architecturally significant characteristics of the premises and is enforced by the commission, which according to the document can waive any term of the restriction. The preservation restriction further states, the grounds of the premises shall be maintained in a naturally landscaped state consistent with the existing topography, natural vegetation, and historical use and character of the main house.
Mr. Chairman.
Hey, thank you, Jennifer. Franklin, are you here for the applicant?
I am, Mr. Chairman. Good evening. Good evening, members of the commission. For the record, my name is Franklin Schwartzer. I'm an attorney with the law firm Schlesinger and Bookbinder at 1200 Walnut Street in Newton Highlands. I'm joined tonight by Richard Jacobs, trustee and resident of the Bigelow House condominium, as well as Ron Scharf and Avi Kaufman, who have sort of the design that we presented to you conceptually for the site. I'm going to share my screen. Just please let me know if for some reason it's not changing slides.
Sure. Franklin, can I ask you to tackle another piece that's in the preservation restriction as well, too? Jennifer pointed out that standard, but you know, section 9D of the restriction says there shall be no additions to the main house, nor shall other buildings or structures be erected or placed on the premises.
That's correct. So this is the idea behind this would not be to attach anything to the historic structure and leave that area alone. In terms of having buildings on other parts of the lot, we again believe the Newton Historic Commission can, consistent with the preservation restriction, waive that. So just by way of orientation, and I'm hoping you're all seeing the aerial view right now. Perfect. Great. So this is Ober Road right here.
I'm sorry, Franklin. It's not an aerial view. It's the first page of the presentation.
Seems like every time we have this problem. Let me try this again. All right. Here we go. Now's the aerial view.
There we go.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. So right here we have Ober Road. Outlined in blue is the lot of 7280 Ober Road, which consists of 217,965 square feet. There is the existing Bigelow House condominium, which for those of you who don't know, was actually the subject of, I think, the second season of This Old House back in the 1980s. This is a treasure. I mean, it's a well-known, well-loved historic property. There's a portion of the lot here that's heavily wooded, is not landscaped, and that's the portion that we're really looking at as a way of adding some housing units. But I think the bigger question, honestly, is what got us to this point and why we're seeking your feedback in a working session. And what I'd like to do right now is actually ask Richard Jacobs to talk a little bit about the condominium, where it is right now, and what's brought us to this point. So, Richard. Why don't you take over from here and just let me know when you'd like me to change a slide.
OK, Okay, so hi everyone. I'm very glad to be here and meet you all and just kind of explain to you why I'm here. I bought one of the units in the condominium, one of the smaller ones, almost 4 years ago, not expecting anything when I came to this site. And as soon as I got out of the car and looked around, I thought, I don't even need to see the inside. I have to live here. As you can see, it's a beautiful grounds. The trees you see in front of you are two of five old beeches, probably 150 years old. The research I've done on the property suggests that Olmsted was consulted by Richardson on the plantings and on the grading of the ground. You can go ahead another slide so they can see this is kind of where I live, one of those doorways. And the courtyard's important to see because of the brickwork, and I'll come back to that in a few minutes and explain why, but it's very unusual. Go ahead, let's have another slide. And this is the main landscape grounds of the condominium, which is what everyone falls in love with when they see it. It's just a beautiful, big and gently graded field in a very Olmstedian style. Off to the left, there are three more different varieties of 150-year-old beech trees. From where the picture is taken, there's American chestnut that we're trying to save. So you get some feel of what this place is about. Go ahead, we can show some more. That's another view of the field looking from the condominium out to the field, and four of the five units all have this view. Okay, anything else we have? I think that might be it. Any other slides?
I think that's it, Richard, in terms of
exactly. Yeah, so we don't want to touch this. Why we're here is because this place is almost impossible to maintain financially. We have a big budget now, very high condo fees, and we're able to sort of do the minimum, which includes snow plowing, garbage removal, maintenance of the landscape to a minimum. But we've run into things like invasives in this beautiful area starting to kill some of the trees. We need to get that controlled. Some of the trees have died, others have fallen in storms. They need to be replaced, and we want to replace them with the same species that Olmsted originally envisioned. So three of us that are on the board all feel equally committed to this building, and we feel like we're really just trustees of a great property. And at the same time, we're kind of, our hands are tied in terms of really maintaining it properly. It's 40 years since this old house really redid the entire building, and it was a kind of brilliant partnership between GBH and the town of Newton to do this. And Bob Vila headed it up and did a wonderful job in saving this mansion that otherwise was falling to the ground. It's not falling to the ground yet, but there are major things about it that in our budget, we can't really afford to do. There are turrets to take care of. You saw the brickwork in that beautiful courtyard. We had a mason come look at it. He said, this courtyard's basically priceless. You couldn't build this now. It's so expensive between the bricks and the labor that's involved. And the drainage is bad there. Things have to be kind of taken up and put back together. The stone walls around the building also, we think, are Olmsted's design. They were restored by this old house, but some of them are starting to give way in different areas. So there are major projects we're wanting to do, and we can't do it by just having special assessments. The special assessments really that we've had in the 4 years I've been there are supporting just general maintenance. So the three of us talked a lot about how else can we raise money. And we thought maybe it's possible that we could have the wooded area of the land that is to the right of this picture behind a garage. You can now see it. So the kind of ladder looking line right in the middle of the land is the driveway to our garage. And all of this land down in the bottom to the right is woods that goes down a grade that when I moved there, I didn't even know this land existed. You just don't see it from the house. And so we started talking with contractors 2 years ago and came finally to Avi and Ron because they have been the most sensitive to our feelings about the land, our wanting to keep intact the beauty of it and not detract from the main building or the landscaping, and also be sensitive to our neighbors, most of whom have very lovely and important mid-century modern houses. So that's kind of our thinking at this point, is that we're hoping you guys will help us and consider the possibility of us doing something like this so we can take the money and put it into Bigelow House and the grounds.
Thank you, Richard. Ron, do you want to talk a little bit about the proposed site plan and then sort of the design concept as of this point?
Sure. Thank you very much to the commission for hearing us this evening. So, you know, as you can see from the topography, the area that we're interested in is on a very steep slope. So it does not, you know, what we decided would be best is to do as much as possible to minimize the visual impact from the plateau where the Bigelow House is sitting, right, which means kind of getting down for the bottom of the hill. And also to be sensitive to Ober Road, we pushed everything toward the back as well. So just in terms of placement, we're trying to be as non-intrusive as possible to either, you know, as Richard said, the properties on Ober Road themselves are very beautiful and very interesting, and also the Bigelow House. We also, you know, we wanted to try and be complementary to both. So this is just a conceptual plan. We haven't really done a detailed study of, you know, how exactly this would work internally. But what we had the architect do here is, you know, the form of the structure tries to give, you know, sort of homage to the Bigelow House with a sort of central spine and the connectedness. The houses themselves, which you can see in the next couple of slides, they are in that mid-century modern style that, like, these are the homes on Ober Road, which you can see are, they're really just all of them lovely examples of mid-century modern. So we wanted to, you know, figure out a way to be sensitive to both of these, you know, really beautiful architectural things that are happening here. And also to do it, you know, in the least intrusive way possible. So that goes to both the form and the placement of what we proposed here.
And then I think these are just the general rendered views of what the concept drawings have us for that design. So here's the view looking northeast, northwest, southwest, and then south from those sort of four cardinal points that are on the proposed site plan.
Is it okay for some questions?
Yeah, absolutely. I can stop sharing right now. Again, the premise of this really was, you know, we wanted to get working session feedback on this because obviously there is a preservation restriction on the property. We understand that there is a need for the Bigelow House condominium. But at the same time, this is something that is a conceptual stage. And before we invest a lot of more time and energy, we wanted to get your feedback.
So is the plan to sell off the land and use that to fund the condominium, or is this just adding on another phase to the condominium?
No, the plan would be to sell that portion of the land, and percentage wise, I think it may be about 35%. We haven't figured that out exactly, but it's certainly less than half of the entire site, and that the proceeds from the land sale would be then used in part now for major improvements on the site, and partly would be put away for the future.
Okay, she also asked us to waive in the preservation restriction 9F that says the premises won't be subdivided also.
Just to be clear, because then this is a detail that we haven't talked to Richard so much about for a while. One of the things we're considering is not actually subdividing the land because we wouldn't have the necessary frontage for zoning if we did that. So we've actually thought about making two association, two sub-associations under a blanket association. Right. So this would, in that case, be just another, I guess, another phase in the association.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is the preferred method. I don't think there'd be a way of subdividing this from a frontage perspective or under the preservation restriction. So it'd be more like a different phase.
Great. And the last question I have is, how many units are there in the main facility right now?
Five
units.
Great. I think that there are some electrical things that go through some of that wooded area also. Some easements is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I'm sure that'll work that out.
Great.
Mm-hmm. In terms of design.
Mark, if you just hold up, John had his hand up. If I just want to respect the order. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, but it has to be an evaluation because it is a wooded area. If there is development in that section, how many trees would have to come out?
John, that's a great question. I don't know. Obviously several. And there'd be a substantial amount of trees that would have to be removed.
There's a lot of wildlife in that property as well. That's one of the other wonderful things. They have many deer, turkeys, all kinds of different wild animals up there all the time.
Great, thanks. Go ahead, Mark. Get your hand up.
Hey, so the style of it, I mean, part of what you want to know is how you want it to look and to be appealing. And I can't tell from the renderings if you're trying to work in context with the mid-century houses or the main building on the site. So I can't tell because you have these clear story roofs that are like this, and the main house on the site is all full of gables. Mm-hmm. And that's what's pretty about it, and turrets and things like that. And the mid-century houses have clear stories and low slope roofs that are gables. So I'm not quite clear on the sensibility of the style of the presentation.
So Rob, do you want to talk to that a little bit?
I could say one thing that may have been somewhat influential here. When I've spoken with different developers, I'm not an architect, but I do have a fairly good design sense. And I said, my vision of this is like the glass pyramid at the Louvre. We don't want something that imitates Bigelow House. That should stand by itself. It's such an important piece of architecture, but it should be something that makes you look one way and then the other way and back, and that they play with each other. And I think Avi and Ron took my suggestion and went to their architect, and that's kind of partly what they were thinking about. I don't think we can make something that looks like, you know, Richardson also thought about building this, but he didn't. That's going to take away
from it. I just don't know where it came from. What you're showing us doesn't relate to anything. So it's, you know, it's just a little hard to comment on. That's all.
Thanks. You know, for my two cents, I know that we have the ability to waive these restrictions in the preservation. It's not clear what the standard is for waiving that. You know, because it pretty clearly says, you know, no other buildings erected on the property and no subdivision of the property. That the house needs more funds to maintain itself. I don't know where I come down on that in terms of whether that's a compelling narrative to waive the restrictions. Never mind the design aspect of it.
I think the architecture has to be compelling as well. So
agreed. I just didn't get to that point yet.
Right.
And it may be that this was very early. That was a very early condominium setup in Newton, and there were a lot of restrictions and easements and things like that built into all the it's a thick pile of documents. I'm wondering if we should have somebody from the city look at it, because originally it was done, I think, with people from the city.
And create a report or something?
Hmm?
and create a report for the NHC?
We can take a look at that. I'm happy to sort of reach out to legal and see whether there's any plus there. I mean, I've read it pretty clear that those restrictions are there and that we do have the ability to waive.
If you read what's in the packet, that's like maybe 1% of all the documents.
I understand. Great. John, you got your hand up?
Actually, I think Katie had her hand up ahead of me.
Okay, Katie?
I'm sort of jumping the gun, but as you work on the design, just something that stood out were the garages. I'd like to see more attention paid to that, but I think we're jumping the gun because I do think the legal aspect needs to be addressed first.
So,
thank you, Katie.
Just to clarify.
I'm sorry.
So in terms of benefit of you know, I understand Mr. Jacobs, you know, point and the argument, and it does make sense if it can help them maintain a historic property better. A couple of things that strike me is we're looking at you know, four units and almost 13,000 square feet of living space, which, you know, we have a housing crisis in Eastern Massachusetts. And for me, you know, 3,000 square foot condo is, I don't know. I would much rather see more units. I think that, you know, creating more units is more equitable. It gives more people access to that property, more families. And I'm not in the real estate business. But I think, you know, having a separate association and those people, those families not having access to that lovely green would also be I think, unfortunate because it is a lovely outdoor space. So I think in terms of making a case and to why we might reconsider the restrictions on this property, I need something more compelling, personal. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Any other comments from the commission members or questions, Franklin, you or Mr. Jacobs, the team has for us?
Ron, do we have any questions just in terms of design direction or anything like that
Well, what I'm hearing is that maybe we missed the mark a little bit, but what we tried to do to Mr. Armstrong's comments, and maybe we just didn't succeed, the structure itself, sort of the connectedness of it, was meant to complement the Bigelow House, but not compete, as Richard said. The individual housing units were meant to look in the mid-century style of the homes on Ober Road. So if we miss that, then that's definitely a comment that's worth taking to heart. That is what we tried to do, and certainly we can go back to the drawing board, as it were, and try and do better. If that's notionally acceptable to you folks, we didn't go too far with this because, as Franklin said, you guys hold the sort of binary switch on it. So we thought it was a good time to come in and see, is this even worth talking about? So, we're happy to do the work if that's something you folks are interested in hearing more about.
Thanks for answering my comments. I realize it's early in the game and I really am just reacting to the asymmetrical gables, that's all, that don't seem to be around there. And I appreciate the idea of being different from the historic and making that separation, but I think it can be done in a way that creates more dialogue between the two. And between the 50s houses and the old house on the site, I think there's a way to create more dialogue and less separation. I agree with the idea of creating more units, and that could be encouraged. However, the number of vehicles on the road would be objectionable, and I'm assuming they would all share the one main driveway.
That'd be correct.
Okay.
Well, in terms of sharing the driveway, in terms of being objectionable, I'm not sure about that.
No, I know, right.
Great. Thank you. Nancy, you have your hand up?
Yes, I've actually, I'm a real estate agent. I've actually sold four of those units, some of them several times. And so I'm pretty familiar with the building. And where you're talking about putting them is really way down a hill, quite a distance from the Bigelow House itself, and really much closer to the mid-century modern houses, and particularly the ones right up at the top of Ober Road. And there is a road that goes up. There's another condo association under this one that was a hospital of some sort originally. And then the road continues up and becomes the driveway up to the Bigelow House. And that is a road that's basically the driveway, and it's owned by the association effectively. It's not part of, it's not Ober Road itself. And so there are a lot of concerns about those kinds of things. But I do think that it's really not even going to be very visible from the Bigelow House. There's a water tower also that's much more visible right behind the garage, kind of. So I think it could be an interesting way to help them manage their expenses. And I would also think that adding them into either the same association or something like that. Bishop's Forest in Waltham, for example, was built by two different major companies, but it's all Bishop's Forest, but they actually have, and they all use the same management company, but they have different kinds of fees and different things depending on who built it. So that kind of thing can be done. So.
Thank you, Nancy. Harvey?
Yes. Putting aside the legal question, I think it's an interesting idea if those details can be worked out. I do have a few comments, however, on the diagrams that we see. The first is, it would seem to me appropriate to have these houses work with the landscape, work with the terrain, the topography, to a much greater extent than what your diagram suggests. It's almost as though this arrangement of little boxes has been done without any contemplation of what the topography is. The second, and this echoes an earlier comment by one of the commissioners, I think it's unfortunate if the visage that these houses, these units present to the world is that of a bunch of two-car garages. I think that dominates that elevation, and I would certainly suggest that it might be worth looking at other ways to distribute the traffic, as it were. The third point is a more subtle one. You've argued that these units ought not try to imitate Richardson. And I think that's a fair point, but I think it might be equally fair to submit that maybe they shouldn't be trying to imitate the 1950s houses either. Perhaps there's a third path that isn't 50s and it's not 1890s, but somehow can mediate between the two. I realize that's a big challenge, or a bigger challenge, but it might make for a much more exciting project.
Thank you, Harvey. I'm not sure if it would be useful at some point maybe to do a site visit to just sort of see how it fits into the topography? I mean, that's sort of a big thing for me. It might be useful to go that. If anybody's interested in doing that, should they contact you, Franklin, or Richard, or what's the best way to contact for that?
That's a great question. Richard, would it make sense for people to go through me and then have me contact you, or do you want to be contacted directly for the site visit?
No, I think it'd be better to contact you, Franklin, since you're great. Kind of in charge of this, and I will gladly be there and host and provide lemonade and what I know about the property.
Great. We can't all come at the same time, open meeting laws, but it would be a sort of a one-off opportunity for any of the commission members. I'd like to do one big thing, but you know, there's all other legal requirements that would come in that wouldn't work.
You're right. Unless we go talk.
I think that's a tough one to pull off. So what we'll do see if we want to get some fresh air and come out and coordinate through you, Franklin, to do some site visits there.
Fantastic. We're happy to do that.
Okay. Any other questions on this or?
No, I mean, I think you've given us some useful direction. I think we clearly have to go back and take a look at some of the design stuff and we'll look forward to site visit, but it sounds like there's at least a conversation here that can be had. So, and I don't know if there needs to be I assume you'll be reaching out to the city's legal department to ask any questions you have on those issues.
Yeah, I get a sense of that. You know, the restrictions do fit in kind of weird with it, but I think they look like they're still legally bounding. And, you know, the sections I have look like they're kind of clear. It's not clear to me what the waiver piece is, and maybe that's worth you spending some legal time to figure out if there is some standard for waiver there that would help us with our decision making. Great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Great. Thank you, everyone.
Administrators, a list, a staff memo of all the items that had been administratively approved by Val and Peter before the meeting. One clarification I do want to make, thank you again for voting for me as the acting chair. I just want to make clear that under our rules and regs, the delegation to staff and the chair to find whether property is clearly not historically significant to deal with items administratively so they don't have to go on to the agenda. It's not clear that acting chair can do that or not. I just want to make clarification if it's okay with that delegation to grant that authority to me and the plan department to, as acting chair, to make that finding going forward over the next month until we have the vote.
So moved.
Great. All in favor?
Aye. Give me a second.
Great.
Second.
Great. Yeah, any opposed? I don't think we need a formal roll call, but great. So we'll do that. And the July meeting, we'll have a vote for the permanent chair and vice chair is called on the rules and regs. I'm assuming you're all happy with me staying on as chair, but if someone else wants to take over, let me know. We're happy to have that conversation with you. And if anyone wants to step into our new role as vice chair, please let me know and we'll get that queued up for the next meeting.
And the vice chair will probably be the chair thereafter.
Just a heartbeat away.
Right, just a heartbeat away.
So. Great. And the last thing to vote on. Right. But not necessarily. Things can change. I don't want to commit to say that, but be prepared for to take over the role. In the last, we had minutes for the April 28th meeting, the May 4th meeting, and the May 26th meeting. We just want to approve those minutes. All in favor? Anybody opposed or abstaining? All right, we'll approve those minutes. And lastly, most important, we're going to make a vote to adjourn the meeting. All in favor of adjourning the meeting? Anybody opposed?
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next month.
Yeah.
Bye.
And Jennifer, thank you for stepping in.
Thank you.